Amen. Praise God for the day that we received our sight in order that we might be happy today. Praise God that I don't have to have good things going on in my life to be happy. Amen. Amen. I can be messed up all the way and still be happy in all that the Lord has been doing for me and for us. And I praise God for that truth today. I am really excited. So today we're going to be finishing up our sermon series that we've called Celebrate, because we do have a lot to celebrate, right? No matter what is going on, even as we talked last week about even in the midst of struggle and through all the pandemic and all this kind of stuff, right? We have reason to celebrate because God has been so good even in hard times. Today, we are going to focus our attention on celebrating generosity, right? Eventually, we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Before we get there, if you would, just pause with me for a moment of prayer. God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word and to hear from you. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. It is my desire, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, Father, and that you would help each and every one of us just simply to say yes to you and to respond by faith in you. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to be with us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our response to you as well. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Luke chapter 14, we encounter Jesus at the home of what we are told is a prominent Pharisee, right? We aren't given a lot of information about who all was there, but we know that when he gets there, he is kind of confronted with this this gentleman who has a swelling all over his body, right? Now it's interesting. I always wonder, like, when the Bible describes like different infirmities and stuff like that, like what would that be like today, right? I don't know. Obviously, there was some inflammation this guy was dealing with, but he was struggling with it. And so anyway, Jesus sees this guy, sees that he is in need of healing, and sees that he is looking to Jesus for healing, right? And he starts talking to the Pharisees, and he says to him, he's like, just help me out with this. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus asked the Pharisees this, and they're dead quiet. All of a sudden, these guys who were just lining up to challenge Jesus, right? All of a sudden, they ain't got nothing to say, right? They ain't got anything to say. And so Jesus is very interesting. So they don't answer. So Jesus, it says that what's the actual word that he uses here? Because he took hold of him. That's what it says. In the NIV, it says that he took hold of the man. I don't know what that means. He like shook him real good or something like that. But anyway, and he heals the guy, and then he tells him, like, all right, get on out of here. He sends him on his way. Now, I have some commentary that I think might be why, but I'm not going to put that in here right now. If you really want to know that, we can talk later. And then after that, Jesus starts talking to the Pharisees again. Like, so help me out with this, Pharisees. This is Jesus talking to them. If you have a child or even an ox that falls into a pit, are you going to help him out on a Sabbath? Like, immediately? Right? He actually uses that word, immediately, right? All of a sudden, these Pharisees ain't got nothing to say. They're just, it's just no answer. No answer at all, right? Jesus starts looking around, right? And he starts noticing everybody that this prominent Pharisee has invited over to his house, right? And he starts talking to him about how people were sort of vying for these places of honor, right? And so he says, okay, let me help you guys out with something here real quick. if you go to a wedding, which is, I think is funny, like Jesus is at like a dinner party, if you will, and then he starts like, okay, if you guys are ever at a wedding, which I know we're not right now, I know it might seem sort of out of nowhere, but just go with me here, right? If you guys are ever at a wedding, don't sit like next to the groom, right? Because somebody's going to come up to you and be like, this ain't where you need to sit. You need to go away, right? But when you go to that wedding, like just hang out in the corner somewhere, basically, right? Just find somewhere out of the way and just be there. And then what you'll find is that the people who are in charge are probably going to find you in the corner and be like, no, like, come on over here, like, sit at this great table, like, enjoy the party, right? And he kind of summarizes all this to say, like those who strive to honor themselves are going to be humbled, and those who humble themselves are going to be honored, right? Now, again, that right after he has the conversation about healing the guy and everything, and then he follows that up with, it's starting in verse 12, and here he begins to sort of shift the conversation a little bit, although not entirely, I guess. So let me just read this for you. Verses 12 through 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Says, then Jesus said to the host, again, the prominent Pharisee, right? When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. Which just makes me laugh. Like if you've got a rich neighbor on one side and a poor neighbor on the other side, you're just like, well, we're just going to slide that invitation that direction. Anyway, if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Verse 13. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So Jesus here is speaking to what I would refer to as the next time crowd, right? And here's what I mean by the next time crowd. So like we probably all have friends that if you go out together, whether you're going to get lunch or, you know, whether it's a meal or you're just meeting up for coffee or whatever like that, like you may be generous enough to say, you know, oh, I got this one. I'll pick this one up. No big deal. But then these are the friends that will say to you, okay, well, that's fine, but next time I got it, right? Those are your next time friends. And it's great to have next time friends. Nothing wrong with next time friends, right? But what's interesting, according to what Jesus is saying here, is that the next time friends are not really where it's at. Like, nothing wrong with next time friends. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I have enjoyed the benefits of having some of you as next time friends, and I thank you very much for that. But there's something about connecting with people that you know are going to be able to return the favor, right? As opposed to being generous with people that you know there is no way in the world that money ever coming back into your life, right? Like, there's other people that you know, like for example, I'll give you a great example, and it is me, right? When I go to, or when we go to Ohio, I am pretty certain that every time we go out to lunch or dinner or whatever, with my parents, with my dad in particular. I'll just focus on him. With my dad in particular, when we're out there and everything, and like he's got a really cool pizza place that the kids love to go to and everything, and we'll go out there and I'll just eat a sugar packet or two, right? Because everything's covered in cheese and I can't eat any of it. But every single time, it's not even a conversation. It's not like, oh, are we going to split this one? Or every single time, he picks up the check. Every time. Thank you, Dad. If you're watching, Dad, I thank you so much. And when he does, I say thank you. But I sure don't say next time. No, I don't. No, are you kidding me? Like, you gotta be kidding me. No way. No, I am not next time friends with my dad. No, I am not. No, like, I just received that blessing and we just gonna keep on going. Like, that's just, That's all the glory of God right there. Yeah, yeah. I am not next time friends with him, right? He knows that he ain't never going to see that money again, right? Like it's not like, well, later on, like, I got, no, it's, he just doing that to bless my life, and he did too. He sure did. I'm thankful for it. Blessed are you when you invite those who cannot repay, right? It's fun to invite those people that you know are going to be able to maybe invite you back to their party next time, or, you know, that you'll be able to hang out again and everything like that. But man, the blessing that comes in the generosity of when you're able to give to someone that you know there's no way in the world it's coming back, because that generosity is different. That generosity, it's not a boomerang generosity where I give here, but I'm expecting to get here. But rather, it's a generosity where I'm just giving because I feel like God is wanting to bless your life, so let me just give you what God has given me, right? It could look as if what we're saying here is that the generosity of God is really not fair, right? Because in essence, what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here is that you shouldn't invite people that are going to invite you back to their parties. You know, don't just give to people who can give back to you, but give to people who have no, that don't even have a chance of giving back to you, right? I can imagine the Pharisees be like, well, that's not fair. Like, how come I'm giving all this and they ain't giving nothing to me? Like, if we're going to be friends, right? Like, shouldn't I be getting something out of this too? And I think the idea that it isn't fair is exactly what Jesus is getting at here, right? Because the difficulty comes in when we don't, when we see ourselves as the Pharisee. Ooh, I hope we get this now. The difficulty comes in when we see ourselves as the Pharisee, but we don't see ourselves as the swolled up guy who needs healing. Oh, I hope you got that this morning. The problem comes in where we, when we see ourselves as we're the ones who have, but we don't see ourselves as the ones who need. Right? See, it isn't fair. What Jesus is setting up here is not fair. Let me just be clear about that. The generosity that Jesus is seeking of this prominent Pharisee in particular is not fair. And we ought to thank God for that each and every day. Because it's because of the fact that life is not fair that we actually get to know what it is to live in forgiveness, that we get to live in new life, that we get to be set free from sin and death. We don't get any of that because we deserve it. We get that because life is not fair. And Jesus died on the cross so that we could have all of these things. And it wasn't fair that he had to die for us, but praise God that he did. It isn't fair that God has given us everything that we have, and yet we try to take credit for all of it. It isn't fair that we bring nothing to God except sin and brokenness. It isn't fair that God had to send his only son to die for the consequences of our choices. Also not fair, right? It isn't fair that he has given us free will to choose him, and yet so many times we use that very gift to walk in the opposite direction, right? We ought to praise God every single day that things aren't fair, that we get to experience grace, that we get to share that grace with others, that we get to generously pour out what God has generously poured in to us. We ought to thank God every single day that life isn't fair. Because fair leads us to very bad places. But grace leads us somewhere very different. right? See, fair doesn't actually matter. I know that particularly in our like American like democratic society and everything, like everything should be fair, right? No, fair doesn't actually matter. See, your giving is not for you because what you give is not from you. Right? Like you don't get to decide how to give what you have because what you have is not actually yours. Right? Like when you see yourself as the prominent Pharisee, then you think you have all these things and you have all these people and you have all this influence and you have all this money and you think that, oh, well, now I got to figure out how to use all these things. But what Jesus is trying to show here is that no. We ought not align ourselves with the Pharisee, but rather we ought to align ourselves with the one who is in need of healing because we bring nothing and all we have is need of Jesus to pour into our lives. And praise God, he has. And he has generously given to us. And so now we get the opportunity to generously give to others. And that is what we have to celebrate. We have to celebrate the opportunity to be generous, not because we have done anything all that great, but because God has been so good to us. Let me try to say this in a little different way. Imagine with me that Beth and I are buying a new house. Don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen. Imagine with me that Beth and I are going to buy a new house. And we go looking. We spend a significant amount of time doing that. And then we find the place that is perfect for us, that we think is perfect for us. Now, we think it's perfect for us because of its location primarily. We recognize a little bit of a fixer-upper, right? Like there's some things that need a little paint on the wall and some things need taken care of, new carpet and that kind of stuff. But it's where we need it to be for our lives, and it's sort of centrally located to everything, right? And so we find this house, and we work with our realtor, and we work at negotiate the price, and things are right where we want them to be. And so, like, we're happy, we're excited, we sit down, we go, and then we have to have a meeting with the title company, right? So the title company, what they do is they basically, this sounds sort of bad, but they basically launder the money, right? So everybody gives them their money, they give the money to everywhere else it's supposed to go, right? So we go and we sit down with the title company. And I mean, if for any of you who have been through this process before, there's so much paper. You're just signing your whole life away, right? You don't even know what you're signing anymore. You're just like, give me a stamp. You do it for me, better yet. I'm just done. And so we're signing papers and all this kind of stuff. And so we get all of that completed. We leave the title company. We go and we rent the truck to put all of our stuff into it, of which I'm sure you guys would be there to help with. Thanks so much for being a part of my story. We get the whole truck loaded. We go over to the new house where the realtor is supposed to be meeting us with the key. And we get there with the truck and all of you to help unload and all that kind of stuff. Thanks again, by the way. And we get there, and the realtor doesn't have the key. And so, as you would imagine, Beth and I would begin asking some questions, like, where's the key? Like, we got all of our stuff, like, we're ready to get in here, like, what's the deal? And the realtor then tells us, well, the title company actually didn't like the house. So the title company decided there was probably a better house for you. So what they decided to do was to take the money that you gave to them, and they actually bought a different house on the other side of town. And it's all fixed up already. Like, it looks super nice and everything. And in fact, what they were saying was that probably the best thing you could do with it is just, like, like make it like an Airbnb, right? Like you can get a bunch of money out of this thing. People can come in and rent it and all this kind of stuff. And you got like you're gonna have some serious income from this house here. It's gonna pay for itself. Like don't even worry about it, right? Like the title company, they took care of everything. They've got it all taken care of. And Beth and I would look at our realtor and probably just beat the snot out of that person, right? What are you talking about? Like this is the house that we wanted, right? Like this is, we got all of our stuff. We got all of you there. Like we're ready to unpack. And you're trying to tell me that the title company decided that we needed to be in a different house? Because as it turns out, like they have some different priorities than what we have. They weren't just concerned about location. They were wanting the house to look like turnkey ready, right? They were looking to make a profit off of this house and everything. But that's not what Beth and I had in mind. Like we just needed a place in a certain place. And we got all of our stuff now. What are we supposed to do with all this? And this is exactly what we do to God sometimes. God pours out generously, and like we sit down and we're signing all these papers, you know, and God is just giving us like all these resources into our lives. He's got people set up and lined up to be able to make this thing happen, and then we come in with our super smart selves, and we try to tell God, no, God, like there's a better option out there. God, like I know that you really want me to invite the poor and the lame and the blind and the sick, but God, like, if we invite all these prominent people, we are going to be making money hand over fist. Like, God, don't you get it? Like, this is a better plan. It seems ridiculous when you say it out loud like that, right? And like, if you ever like dealt with a title company that just used your money however you wanted, however they wanted to, like you would lose your ever loving minds, right? Like that would be the end. You'd sue them for everything they had. Yet, we find ourselves in a very similar position with God a lot of times. We just decide, well, we're just going to use these resources the way that we want to use them. And thanks so much for giving them to us. We appreciate you. But we got some other ideas, right? We need to make sure that we are recognizing who it is that things belong to, right? What it feels like, even for this prominent Pharisee, it feels like we have all of these things, a whole bunch of stuff, that we can use at our discretion to benefit us and the things that we want to benefit. And now sometimes, take it easy, God, like, sometimes we want to benefit the church. I mean, off my back, God, right? Sometimes I'll, like, throw a dollar out the window to somebody who might need it. God, it's not like I'm not trying to benefit anybody, God, right? But you see the difference there is that on one hand, God is in control, and in the other hand, we are in control. You see that? And what God is looking for is, he wants our reality to be just that, what reality really is. And reality is that we have nothing. Amen. I get myself on that one. You can catch me twice next time. Everything we have belongs to God. Like everything. And it is to be used at God's discretion to benefit him and his kingdom and in order to invite others into that kingdom as well. Now, we can invite all of you. We can invite each other to all of our parties and that kind of stuff, but you coming to my parties is not going to grow the kingdom of God. What I really need to do is build some relationships with people that are broken inside, that need healing inside, that are dealing with a sin problem so that I can be able to show them what the gospel of Jesus Christ is saying into their lives so that we can expand the kingdom of God. It is not about us just getting together and sharing resources with each other. All right? We've heard all the sermons before, right? We are as saved as we're going to be. Hear me now. What we need to do is find a way to do what God, to let God be in control enough that we would actually share these resources with people who don't already have access to them. We live, God desires for us to live, in an upside-down kingdom, okay? We see this even in Luke chapter 9, verse 24. It says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it, right? Totally upside down, totally upside down. If you want to save your life, you got to give it away. And if you give your life away, if you want to save your life, you gotta give it away. So if we have anything, it is only because God has extended a measure of trust in us. Yes. Yes. I want you to hear this, because this is probably one of the craziest things that I could imagine God doing. God, knowing how broken and messed up we are, God has extended a measure of trust to us in order that we might have stewardship, we might have a level of control, if you will, over the resources that belong to Him. And yet, we have a hard time trusting Him with how it is we are to use these resources. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that sort of, I mean, when you say it out loud like that, doesn't that just make you wonder, like, what am I doing? How in the world, like, I don't know how messed up you are. I'll just start there, okay? I know how messed up I am. I'll personalize this for me. I know how messed up I am. I know of some of the financial choices and decisions that I've made in my past that weren't always the best. I know about how I have sometimes gone astray from what God's will has been in my life. I know me. And for God to extend any measure of trust in my direction boggles my mind completely. Like, on a regular basis, I do things and then I step back and wonder to myself, why did I do that? And yet God has extended this measure of trust to me. And all that He asks in response is that I extend a measure of trust to Him. And what that means is that when I am giving generously, I don't just give to people who I know I'm going to get back from, but rather I give to people that I know I'm never getting back from. And that is where the blessing is. And the blessing comes, see, here's the kicker. This is where the spiritual ADD just goes way crazy here, right? Because the kicker is that, like, when I'm giving to my next time friends, if you tell me next time it's on me, like, I'm getting my calendar out and we're planning something today. Don't threaten next time with me, because it's going down. Like, we are making this happen. Like, I'm not picking up the check. Just hear you say next time and then we're going to forget about it. I don't think we are. Like there is an immediate response that is going to happen there. And we're going to make sure that next one happens. But what Jesus is saying to the Pharisee here is that the blessing you will receive will be at the resurrection of the righteous. Well, Jesus, that great? No, but what am I supposed to do about that right now? And so it's like I said, that spiritual ADD just goes crazy. I mean, like, no, we got to have, like, instant gratification here, God. Like, throw me a bone or something. Like maybe just a little extra check in the mail or something. Like, let me know it's you, right? But no. What Jesus says is, no, the blessing will come at the resurrection of the righteous. Oh, see, now that's a whole nother level of trust right there, isn't it? You see how all this stuff about money, it, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to who do you trust more, you or God? And unfortunately, we usually choose us, which again is a bit weird because we know how crazy us is, right? I guess sometimes the crazy we know is, we see the crazy that we know as more reliable than a God that we feel like we don't know entirely. So I guess what I would say is, maybe this is a good time to get to know him a little more, right? And I'm not just talking to people who've been here, who are our guests here today. So first of all, if you are a guest here today, we're super glad you're here. Like, we hope and trust that you feel like family real soon. But I'm talking to people who've been here for years as well. Like, maybe there are some things that we need to get to know about God and how he wants his resources used in order that we might be able to live in that trust with him, right? What Jesus was saying to this prominent Pharisee and all the other Pharisees and experts in the law there with him would have sounded really radical and crazy. And it still does. I don't really know a way to change that, and I wouldn't try to. What Jesus asks of us is kind of radical and crazy. And I think what's really cool is that this congregation is already involved in being radical and crazy. and that's part of what I want to celebrate today. I appreciate the fact, like for real, the amount of money that was, over this last year in particular, the amount of money that was put toward missions, both through our tithe, even through Faith Promise, even through benevolence, like, it's unbelievable. It really, like, and those are, let me just tell you right now, those are only investments in the kingdom. Like, we might have a missionary who will come tell you a story sometime. We might be able to, you know, to hear from some ministry leaders that'll be able to tell you about how some lives have been changed and those kinds of things. And don't get me wrong, like, those are heartwarming stories, and we really appreciate hearing all that. But those are funds that, like, when they go, like, nobody even knows you were the one who gave individually. They just know, like, hey, there's this group of people who love us and are crazy enough to give us some money to help see God's kingdom grow in this particular area of ministry. Like, we have a lot to celebrate. And the biggest part of what we have to celebrate is that we give sort of recklessly. And that sounds weird if you're not part of the church, right? Like, why would giving recklessly be a good thing again, right? Like, why would giving, you know, last week in the testimony video that Ruben shared, right? He talked about giving his entire stimulus check. What? Like, you could have done a whole lot of stuff with that, right? Ruben, there's a few vacations you could have gone on with that money, right? But it's a different way. It's just I don't know another way to say it. It's just a different way. And I want to invite you into that, right? For some of you, maybe it's been interesting. Here recently I've had some conversations with people about giving, and they're talking about, you know, some of the common things they're saying is, you know what, I just give because that's the way I was raised. Like, that's what I was taught. That's what I do, right? A tithe is not something I think about. It's just something I do. But I recognize as well, that's not something that everybody does. And that looks kind of weird to some people, right? And so what I want to just acknowledge here is that I get that not everybody does that. And I also get that it might not be easy for you to start that. And that's okay too. And you might just appreciate having a conversation with somebody about what it would look like to be generous toward the church and toward God's kingdom. And I just want you to know, like, we're here to have that conversation. We don't expect you just to be born and not understand scriptural teaching in regard to giving, right? And so I would love to sit down with you sometime and just talk about, like, yeah, we can do sermons and that kind of stuff, but sermons are way theoretical, and it doesn't have anything to do with your checkbook, right? Doesn't have anything to do with your credit card, right? But maybe you just want to talk about, like, what generous giving would look like for you. Now, here's what's really cool is this year we took a step of faith to bring on Naomi Dingle as our connections director, right? And her job basically is to connect people to needs, right? So maybe you have a need and she is here to help find someone to help you fill that need, right? But maybe you have resources that can help fill another need, right? That somebody else might have. She helps connect needs and people. And for you, you might just be wondering, like I don't even know how all this stuff works. I don't know what the church is giving to her. I don't know what missionaries are out there. I don't know what Faith Promise stuff. I don't even know what benevolence is all about. Like, I don't know any of this stuff. What I want to encourage you to do, and you have a Connect card just on the seat back in front of you there. I want to encourage you to actually request to meet with Naomi sometime and just have a conversation. I guarantee you it will be the highlight of your day, whenever it is you meet with her, right? You will leave that meeting with a smile on your face, and you're not going to leave like feeling like you were your arm was twisted into making a decision that you didn't really want to make, right? The best part about her job is that she gets to see kingdom blessing happen like right in front of her, right? And it happens as you're able to give generously toward people that find themselves in need. And what's interesting there is as you give, you may never meet the people that you are of whom you are changing their lives. You may never actually meet those people. And I just want you to know that it's worth it. Amen. There's a blessing in it still. And God can really do some amazing things through that when we are willing to trust him with it. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they come, I guess I just want to leave you with a question to sort of ponder, right? And this is one that I've had to wrestle with myself. And that is simply this. Are you defending how you use your money, or are you asking God what to do with it? Those are two very different things, right? Are you defending how you use your money, or are you simply asking God what to do with it? On one hand, we might have some very good reasons as to why we spend our money the way that we do, but at the end of the day, what we're really saying is it's our money. And so we get to be in control of that. Whereas the other question assumes that nothing is ours and everything belongs to God. And so he is the one who ought to dictate how it is that we use whatever it is that he has given us. And let me be clear. I'm not endorsing any kind of reckless irresponsibility, right? We got bills we got to pay. We have obligations that we put out there. We've got to work through some of those things. You know, one of the things that you might even just talk about with Naomi is, you know what? I want to be able to give more generously, but I just don't have a good budget to be able to do that. I waste a lot of money on stuff, and I know I can be doing better in that regard. I know I'm not giving to others in certain ways because I know I'm just throwing it away on stuff that really doesn't matter. And those are conversations that we can have with you to help put you in a position to be able to receive the blessing of God in your life as you're investing in things that are going to bring that blessing at the resurrection of the righteous. Amen. As we sing, I want to encourage you just to really listen and ask God, what do you want me to do with every resource that you've put in my hand? It's a scary question. I'm going to tell you right now. Because when you start taking your hands off of stuff and God's going to pick a house that you wouldn't pick. I'm telling you right now. And it's going to be such a fixer-upper. You're going to look at this thing and be like, Lord, no, not that one. God, no. Pick a different house, please. Like, he's going to do stuff that you don't want him to do. He's going to spend in ways that you, he's going to spend in ways that is not financially, like, beneficial. He's going to do it. I'm just telling you right now. Like, you're going to give God money, and he's going to use it in ways that doesn't make you a millionaire. Amen. And the question is, are we cool with that? But we have a lot to celebrate, don't we? Because what we have to give is what God has given us, and we didn't earn any of it. We don't deserve any. We don't own any of it. It's all his. And so we can celebrate the fact that we can give it all away, and we're never going to be worse off than we started. That is why we celebrate generosity. Because if we are able to give anything to anyone, it is only because God has given it to us first. Oh, he's been so good. Stand with me if you would. We're going to sing this song here. And I want to dare you to trust Jesus today and see what that looks like in your life. Maybe financially, maybe even spiritually. Maybe you just never really surrendered your life to him. Maybe you've got some stuff going on in your life and you're just trying to keep control of everything. You can't trust God with your history. You can't trust God with your wounding. You can't trust God with the choices that you're making. And I'm just letting you know right now that if you would dare to trust God, he will bless your life. And it starts by just saying, Lord, help me trust you. Let's sing.